He said hundreds of farmers could lose their farms, farms that have been in their families for generations. If confiscated to make way for pipelines, they would get 10 cents on the dollar for property value. Now, the pipeline company is called Summit. Summit has hit permit problems in three states, with Burgum in as environmental or agricultural secretary, which is what Trump is saying. Oh, yeah, he drops out of the race. He was never in the race. He drops out of the race and he endorses me. Well, yeah, I might have him in as agriculture secretary or environment secretary, whatever. With him in, the permitting would sail through. He has already been very proactive in North Dakota for these companies. But his own state is holding up the permits. It's the same old one hand will grease the other game. As he said, there's currently about 5,000 miles of CO2 pipeline that is already in the United States, primarily linking natural CO2 sources to oil fields for enhanced oil recovery. Let me just say, this is the most ludicrous game I've ever seen in my life. These people are going to capture unicorn farts, and they're going to put them in a pipeline, and they're going to pipe the farts over to some other place where they'll permanently store them in the ground, because it'll destroy the earth if you have CO2, which is essential, as we all know, for plants. And so you got people who want to pull the CO2 out of the air. You got people who want to grab the CO2 out of oil fields, or people who want to take exhaust gases and extract the CO2 from them, all of this stuff, and then pump it and store it. Pump it across the country. Massive pipeline. It's amazing to me that the environmentalist came after the Keystone pipelines. And, of course, that was the very first thing that Biden did on day one, was to shut down those pipelines. Those are pipelines that were coming out of oil fields in Canada. And they were going to go transcontinental, and they were going to go down to oil refineries in Texas and places like that. And the environmentalists said, no, we don't want to have that. Now, we do need oil, and a pipeline is a good way to transport it. Yes, you can have accidents, but there's nothing that is perfect, and it is far less of an issue if you got a leaking pipeline. It's easier to contain it. It's less likely even to happen than if you're transporting stuff by overland by train or by truck or something like that. It's far more efficient. It's far safer from spills, way safer than a oil tanker at sea. If that has an accident, as we all know, the Exxon Valdez, and that's an amazing mess. And so the pipelines were a better approach. However, I opposed it because of the eminent domain aspect. That's kind of like when you talk about a death penalty for murder or something. It's like, in principle, I support that. In practice, I worry about whether or not the justice system works. Well, the principle that we need to have these pipelines, we need the oil. And yet you had the way this worked, they gave eminent domain condemnation powers to a corporation. And not only that, but to a foreign corporation, TransCanada. And so they were going to come in and condemn farms all throughout the United States. And I didn't agree with that, but we do need to have that oil in a different way. I mean, just do it without eminent domain and things like that, especially not giving it to a corporation. But this is the situation that is now happening with something that has absolutely no use. The CO2 pipelines is the worst of everything, because you've got the eminent domain problem that you had with the oil pipelines, and there's absolutely no reason to do this. It's an amazingly farcical idea to send unicorn farts across the continent for storage in some areas. And so that's the fundamental thing. And then the whole thing is a racket. It's another one of these rackets where these billionaires like Trump and Doug Burgum and the guy who's running this Summit pipeline thing, where they get rich because they pull the wool over our eyes with this stuff. There's about 5,000 miles already of this nonsense. Isn't that enough? Linking primarily natural CO2 sources. But we don't need to take CO2 out. We need to have natural CO2 sources. It's a good thing. It's not causing global warming. It helps the plants to grow and God already thought about that. It's a closed loop system. You get more CO2, well, you get more plants, and they, you know, take it out of the environment, and they grow, and they give you oxygen. Carbon capture and storage involves the injection of carbon dioxide into geological formations, which means that they're storing the waste underground. While this can be an effective method for storing carbon dioxide, it also poses environmental risks, such as leakage or seepage into groundwater or into the atmosphere. That's not an environmental risk, first of all. Again, all it means is that you're gonna pump this CO2 thousands of miles across the continent into a place where you think you're going to store it, and it's going to leak out there. Who cares? It's not a problem. You're the problem. These people are the problem. These grifting billionaires are a problem. Perhaps if you get enough of it there, maybe it's a problem. I don't know. But guess where the places are that they want to store it? Iowa, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And so when you look at the political connections there, when Trump was in Iowa, people asked him about this, and there were a lot of people who basically didn't want all this CO2 concentrated in this area. They didn't like the idea of a pipeline there, and they didn't like the idea of eminent domain. So they didn't like what it was pumping, and they didn't like what they were taking from people. And so Trump said at the time when he was asked about it with the people in Iowa, he said he was undecided is actually a better way to describe Trump's position on this. They had not discovered it. He was undecided on the carbon capture pipelines. Those plans included seizing land from Iowans through eminent domain for a private for-profit project. A few days before the Iowa caucus, this company, Summit Carbon Solutions, and its co-founder, Bruce Rastetter, announced that he will be supporting Trump in the caucus. Rastetter was reportedly close to being named Secretary of Agriculture by Trump during his first administration. Rastetter visited Mar-a-Lago not too long ago, which prompted the Trump campaign to declare the candidate was undecided on this boondoggle known as carbon capture pipelines. And that's all it is. It's a boondoggle. It's a grift. It's a ripoff. Unbelievable. But look, that's the same thing that Trump did for the pharmaceutical industry. Remember, during his transition period, he brings in RFK Jr., who's been very vocal about his concerns about MMR. And so he brings him in and says, well, we're going to look at the science behind this, and we're going to make sure these vaccines are safe. Voila, instantly he gets a big donation from the pharmaceutical industry. He never talks to RFK Jr. about vaccines again. Matter of fact, never mentions it until he says, they got to get the shots. The measles is going around. They got to get the shots. And then he pulls the 2020 thing with the mRNA. But he never criticized vaccines again after that. But instead, after they gave him a big contribution, he put Alex Azar, who was the CEO of Eli Lilly, one of the largest pharmaceutical companies and the most politically connected pharmaceutical company. They had in the past affected legislation, and they even called it the Lilly Rider because it was put in there specifically by and for Eli Lilly. And so he puts Alex Azar of Eli Lilly, the CEO of Eli Lilly, he puts him in as HHS secretary. HHS is over the FDA, over the NIH, over Fauci, over Francis Collins. He put his guy in, and his guy was the one who declared a state of emergency, Alex Azar, in January of 2020. Before Trump declared his emergency to release the money. And so this is, after this guy goes there, he says, well, I'm undecided now about it. November 2023, Trump's campaign said it was very much aware of the unpopularity of the carbon capture pipelines. The campaign declared that Trump was undecided on whether Iowans should be forced to sell their land for the project. One of the things that I did for Trump when he was running in 2015, early part of that, I was not on board with Trump. And I did a thing about how he had used eminent domain to, it was very much like Pixar's Up. There was a widow who didn't want to sell her house. He wanted her house for a parking lot. And he kept bidding the price up. Finally, he just went to the local authorities and got them to condemn her house. But before it was the project was finished, he went bankrupt in his casino there at Atlantic City. So I did a report on that. I think I should update that. I can't find that report. I'd looked for it the other day. Maybe I should update it and include this CO2 eminent domain scam. They now appears to be backing. So this guy with Summit Carbon Solutions, the corporation that wants to build this CO2 pipeline that's going to use eminent domain to steal people's property, declared his support for Trump just before the caucus. Not long after, Trump attacked Vivek Ramaswamy because he was, at the time, the only major candidate who had publicly opposed the carbon capture pipeline projects and the use of eminent domain. But of course, Ramaswamy is also a pharmaceutical bro. They are all in the club that you're not a part of. And so, again, this is a story that people need to be paying attention to. If you think that Trump is going to push back against this green agenda, this green madness, this green grifting, he never pushed back against the Paris Climate Accord. He put a radical environmentalist, Rex Tillerson, in as Secretary of State. And I know when I called him a radical environmentalist during the transition period, I had all these people criticizing me on social media. You're crazy. He was a CEO of Exxon. It's like, yeah, I know that. And at Exxon, he was a radical environmentalist. Radical environmentalist. And then after, you know, Trump gets in, a lot of people said, all right, you got to stop this Paris Climate Accord. And it was Rex Tillerson and Trump's daughter who pushed against that. And Trump never got rid of it. He said, all right, I'll get rid of it day after the election in 2020. How about that? And then Biden reactivated it. It never stopped. And so if you think that, Trump is out there, day one, we're gonna crank up the oil and all the rest of this stuff. So he's going to do that. At the same time, he's going to support eminent domain and all this carbon capture pipeline nonsense that is out there. So think about how this is looking in terms of his cabinet. We've got Kristi Noem in South Dakota, where they also want to have this carbon capture pipeline. She's being floated as vice president. The guy who's running the pipeline corporation, Summit, he's already talked about having him in as agricultural secretary. Doug Burgum in North Dakota, the governor there, where they also want to pump the stuff, is all for confiscating the family farms, as one person said. These carbon capture pipelines, Burgum is a World Economic Forum guy, been there many times, who is pushing carbon neutral for North Dakota. Trump said in his speech that he wants Burgum, who is also a friend of Bill Gates, by the way, as energy secretary. So you take Doug Burgum, friend of Bill Gates, somebody who pushes all of the World Economic Forum's climate agenda, you put him in as energy secretary. Oh, it's going to be so much better with somebody like that than with Jennifer Granholm, right? No. No, they might go in a little bit different approach. They might open up drilling and then start pumping in CO2 pipelines and stealing people's farms all over the place. Again, it's when you look at the Republicans versus Democrats, it's like, how are they going to come after you? They've got the same agenda. And if you got the same agenda of the climate alarmism, that's going to be used for all this stuff. Hence, Trump talking about his freedom cities. Wouldn't it be better to call them freedom cities than to call them 15-minute cities? Wouldn't it be so much more palatable if you were locked up by Donald Trump, because we know that he's really on our side, rather than by Joe Biden, who we know is not on our side, into an open-air prison, right? And then you got Kristi Noem. So you got Rastella, you got Kristi Noem, you got Doug Burgum, you got Gates, you got the World Economic Forum, and at the center of all of this stuff, Donald Trump, our savior.
Yeah. The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.